So guys, if you're fixing your honey breakfast tomorrow. So tonight I want to talk about mothers are apostolic women. Thank you, sir. When God created man and woman, he intended for us to carry his presence and be his authorities in all the earth. That was his intent. We were filled with and surrounded by his glory until we believed the lie. It's real easy to believe the lie nowadays. We've got TV. We've got internet. We can get lies real quick. In the purest sense of the word apostolos, which means a delegate, a messenger, or someone who is sent, mothers are sent by God with a message and a divine purpose. Yeah. And you thought she was just there to tell you to clean up, pick up your room, and do your homework. Mothers send almost every day until their children have gone away. They don't send you to get you out of the house. They send you to get prepared to fulfill your destiny. Unfortunately, before Eve became a mother, after she and Adam sinned and were no longer filled with the glory of God, I can't imagine trying to be a mom without the glory of God. Eve and Adam could not tell their children about Adonai and his glory. They walked in his glory. They were filled with his glory. They were the glory of God talking with the God of glory. Until they listened to a serpent and believed what he was selling. That they could be equal with God, and they were already made just like him. Glory, filled with glory. They could not bring their children into the place of being filled with his presence. You have a unique opportunity in 2025. Your children can be filled with the presence and the glory of their Creator. Adam and Eve couldn't do that for any of their children. Mary could not do that for any of her children. This was true for millennia until Jesus came and made a way for all of us to be vessels of his glory to fill the earth. You know, we're told in the minor prophets that his glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Well, you are the glory carriers he's looking for to cover the earth. And moms prepare glory carriers. See, we're supposed to honor our father and our mother. Why? So we, not they, we can enjoy long life on the earth. Amen. My dad taught me how to worship. He didn't know that. My mom taught me how to pray. She didn't know that. But between the two of them, they taught me how to do what I do every day now. Just a few decades later. Think of ways to honor who they are. And if you haven't honored them while they're on the earth, repent, pull back the dishonoring words, put them under Yeshua's blood, and release honor in place of the dishonor. Father will honor that. Jesus' victory restored Father's apostolic mandate, and he set a new covenant path for women. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, women were essentially relegated to the status of keeping the home. However, because of God's sovereignty, he would raise up women leaders from time to time. And when he did, oftentimes these women had an incredible representation of his apostolic anointing. I'm not going to go and list them all. That's where I thought I was going to go, but I'm not going there. Read your Bible. It's filled with stories of apostolic women in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. These women exercised great influence, and in some instances, they ruled much better than the men of their time. God is sovereign, and we would see him break into a culture that subjugated women to men and raised women to positions of leadership. This is what the new covenant is all about, us walking together the way he intended back in the place of his delight, the Garden of Eden. Jesus came and changed the redemptive plan over women. In John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, he demonstrated what the Father in heaven was saying about women. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him, in order so they might have grounds for accusing him. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Oftentimes we don't stop at her. This is where things begin to change before the cross. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the midst. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." In 2025, we are living at another historic juncture. Holy Spirit is moving powerfully around the earth, around the United States, even in New York State, even in Monroe County. Hear what God is saying to women. This is to the women. And it doesn't matter if you are one or 100, you are a woman. I am putting my apostolic mantle on women. I do not know if he has ever fully said this in history before, because we don't see it written out in Scripture and can tell someone chapter and verse. All the naysayers, all the misogynists, all of the people who want to keep half of the body of Christ subjected to nothing say, "Well, you can't claim chapter and verse. I just claim Yeshua." Since the early church, you have to read, and not the modern versions. You have to get back into the Greek. You have to get back into the Hebrew. You have to get back into the ancient writers, because we've changed everything since a little guy called King James, who could have been a woman hater. He definitely did not like Jews. And so we modeled all of our translations after someone's translation. Not going to go there. But Jesus came to set me and everyone else free. If there is no Jew, nor Gentile, nor male, nor female, then we are all his. God is saying, women, let the condemnation be removed from your past. Let it go from you so I can begin to use you the way I long to use you. This is a new day. I have a new way, and I have chosen to move with women in a way that will change the course of the earth. Are you ready? Well, the women are. How come the guys aren't? Golly, I'm ready for some help. I have the best help in the universe. You have made mistakes. So has every man who ever walked the earth, except Jesus. Watch me remove the power of the mistakes you have made in the past. You have fallen to all sorts of problems. Now watch me begin to rip it all off of you and clothe you with a favor so you can advance in a new way. It is a new day. It is a new way. That's for the women from ages 1 to 100. Begin to walk in the newness. To move forward in this season, we must see the redemptive power of God released when the Lord Jesus visited the earth. Jesus literally liberated women. Yes. Do you know the name of the first apostolic evangelist? Photine. The woman at the well. She was also the first woman martyred for her faith in Yeshua. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see that in the margins of my Bible. Father has asked all of us to become learned, to be those who will take his word and eat it and meditate on it. And that doesn't mean sitting around with our legs and fingers crossed. That means speaking it over our presence. We meditate by speaking the word of God, storing it up in our heart and speaking it over the places he's calling us to go. So we're not going by ourselves. Right. Ladies, when you go into the market, expect divine appointments because you spoke the word of God over the eggs or over the cereal aisle if you still got kids. We don't have that stuff in our house anymore. Jesus literally liberated women. Who were the first ones at the tomb? Who were the first ones to do the happy dance? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't John. In this new season, we simply cannot go back to the old ways. When we went through Passover of 5785, 28 days ago, we're in the 28th day of counting the Omer now, we left all of that wilderness called my old self behind. Ladies, if you haven't done it, tonight, get alone with the Lord and ask him to remove everything. Know and remember, the enemy is afraid of women. Did you know that? Do you know why? Well, you'd have to know the Old Testament. The first redemptive promise found in the Word of God is, although Satan would bruise your heel, you would crush his head. You would bruise his head. He's talking to the women. The first redemptive promise in Scripture back in Genesis chapter 3 was the power of your heel. And then in Romans 16:20, he added us guys to it too. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord be with you all. This is an incredible promise. It's a redemptive promise. You can crush the head of the enemy who's after your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your lineage. I remind the Lord and the angels assigned to my lineage every morning that Yeshua's blood has put a hedge round about them so they can fulfill what Father put them on the earth to do. Guys, moms pray for their kids more than guys do. Moms believe the promise of the generation more than guys do. It's about time we join the women believing what Father meant when he said we would have a righteous lineage until he returns. A promise is different than prophecy. A promise is a sure thing. It will be done. When God promises you something, it will be done. I don't have to worry about whether it was going to be in my lifetime. I know he's going to do it. Did Abraham see the promise of God? But you know who walked in the fullness of it? Yeshua. Jacob did a little bit. Joseph did a little bit. David did a little bit. When God promises you something, it's more sure than a prophecy. Prophecies are almost always conditional. Not going to go into that. The enemy has so many women cowered down, they fear bruising their heel. Women, put your heel down right now. Did that feel good? Did it hurt? No. Just imagine that your enemy's mouth was right underneath that heel. Years ago, when we were living in Texas, there were quite a few snakes down there, of the serpent kind. And an 18-wheeler rolled over one of them. It was as flat as this sheet of paper. You know, when you put your foot down on the mouth of the enemy, it can't speak, it can't whisper, it can't accuse, it can't condemn. You're free. Consequently, many women lose sight of the fact they will be crushing the enemy's head. Don't let him deceive you. Father gave you a promise. Ladies, now is the time to ask the Lord to make your heel strong. Well, I just can't. Well, he can. Ask him to make your heel strong. And not your favorite heel. If you're left-footed, ask him to bring the right one into equal strength. If you're right-footed, ask him to bring the left one in equal strength. You know what? I had to do that in high school when I injured my right ankle. I was a soccer player, so I learned to play left-footed. And you know what? Left-footers were very unusual in the 1960s. And people didn't know how to defend it. Ask the Lord to give you a defense against the enemy that will crush his head. Shake off the bruising of your heel and confess your heel is ready to crush the enemy's head. So I want you to do that right now. My heel is ready to crush the enemy's head. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to fulfill Father's redemptive purpose and apostolic mandate to live as vessels filled with his glory. Amen. Let's stand. Ron didn't believe I could be short. Everybody stand. There is no male, there is no female. Women have been equated in the body by the blood. Father, we thank you that you have given us all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus, you yourself said, nothing by any means shall harm us. And we say, Lord, tonight we take the new mantle. As sons and daughters, as daughters and sons, we wear the new mantle of apostolic authority. So everywhere you send us, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, we can go and represent you. Father, I say, I send your sons and daughters filled with your glory to pour your glory out. And when they come back to their family altar before you, I say, fill them up to overflowing once again, and send them out again, and fill them up again, and send them out again. Lord, I say, let it be a cycle of glory to glory to glory, because they have chosen to be your ambassadors in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.